Joining us here from the San Francisco Chronicle, John, that's your mic. Pull it up a little bit, and I think we'll have you on. There you go. How are you? John Shea, the Chronicle.
Good morning.
Yeah, great to have you here today. Nice to have you. I was just talking about the, you're on live on Periscope here, get your hair all straight and all that.
Where's
okay.
the camera?
Yeah, right here.
Oh, my goodness.
There it is.
Millions and millions.
625 ball. This is the 54th game of this streak where they're 38-15. That's a third of a season. So, you do the math here. You're talking about 117 wins or something, 114 wins. But, John, we gave the team a grade, I guess you give them an A, but I don't think the rest of baseball would. Why not?
Well, I think some things are overlooked maybe nationally. And, when Hunter Pence went down, just like last year, there was a lot of gloom and doom because they didn't win without him. And that was supposed to be a repeat performance this year. But I think what is overlooked is what Bochy's doing. I think this is a real good managing job by him to make this work despite the loss of Pence, despite so many weeks into the season really having only three starters who were effective. And that excluded Kane and Peavy. But now Peavy's back in the groove. And the top two guys obviously are in a great groove, but they're playing great defense, which is always the big thing here. And without their second baseman, third baseman, and right fielder, they have the best record in baseball. So that's sort of hard to figure. You got to point to the manager who's pulling the strings on this thing and just making things work. It's pretty much a different lineup every day. Span's been in and out, and obviously, Crawford and Belt have had all-star caliber seasons. Only one guy got an invite, right? So, another big year out of Crawford, Belt, and who knows, Posey might be starting to put together some kind of MVP season.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that because we talked about it a little bit. A lot of people think Crawford maybe putting together an MVP season. He's not even on the All-Star team, which you've commented on this week.
Well, not only isn't he on the All-Star team. Okay, number one, the fans say, no, we're not going to vote for him. Well, okay, fine. Okay, then the players say, no, we're not going to vote for him. Okay, that's a second tier. Now the All-Star manager says, no, I'm not going to pick you. I'm going to put, who do you put?
Story.
Story among the five final vote guys. So three tiers, after he wins a Gold Glove, after he wins a Silver Slugger, he's the leader on the best team in baseball in RBIs. He leads all major league shortstops in RBIs. He's what I believe, and you probably agree, the best overall shortstop in baseball, defense, offense, and just what he provides. I mean, if you ask any all-star pitcher, who would you want back there behind you in a one-inning outing at the all-star game? I figured, maybe the guy who's not here, I'd probably want him. And you saw him last night. I think he wasn't just upset that Posey got hit. I think he's just upset, period.
Yep.
I said, come on, what do I got to do? Are you serious? You're picking these guys. And some were, Seager, he's having a standout offensive first half. Fine. But when Collins picks a rookie shortstop out of St. Louis, I mean, that was a one-for-one deal. Carpenter got hurt. He came out of the All-Star roster, and so you got to have one Cardinal in there. But technically you don't, because he's been named. Maybe you don't have to have a Cardinal on the active roster, but it's kind of a goodwill gesture, the people in St. Louis, whatever. But still, you would think that the best overall shortstop in the game should be at the All-Star. I mean, I was thinking, by these rules back in the day, maybe Willie Mays wouldn't have got in one year and said, well, the fans voted for three other guys. The players voted for the All-Star manager had to get one guy from – okay, sorry, Willie. Really?
Yeah. No, it's incredible. John Shea with us of the Chronicle. But you're heading down to the All-Star game, and do you think there's a movement here in some way, shape, or form? And I don't know if baseball can ever get this straight. To get away from this game determining the home field for the World Series?
Yeah, I think it's pretty bogus. When you get selected or elected, I don't think that's your first thought. When you're playing the game, that's not your first thought. the fans, that's not their first thought. It's all about Fox TV. That's what we want. We might want to make it more competitive because for so many years, people were shunning it or blowing it off after two innings and catching a jet home. And they said, well, I mean, it's still the best All-Star game by far. That's not even a debate. You know, it's fun to watch basketball, but there's no defense. Hockey, I don't know what that is. A Pro Bowl, does it still exist? So it's really baseball. That's all we're left with on the All-Star front. And I just think it could be so much better. You know, interleague play counts much more than this All-Star game. So make interleague play. And they say, well, because interleague play goes through the end of September, we can't get the hotels and we don't know what the, you know, okay, we got to know what where 1, 2, 6, and 7 are going to be played. So, okay, the last day of August, what's the interleague record? Who's got the most wins, AL or NL? That's your home field advantage for the World Series. It's that simple. And going back to the All-Star thing, make the All-Star game, put it on a Wednesday so guys like Bumgarner this year and Sonny Gray last year can show up and play in the game. You can't have an All-Star game with your best players ineligible because they appeared in a Sunday game. I mean, that's silly. It's stupid. You get over it. And just push the game back to Wednesday so they can have two days rest. And Wednesday would be their throw day anyway, between stars throw day. And that way, you could see Bumgarner and you could have seen Gray last year. I mean, year after year after year, the silly rules of the All-Star play just keeps people out. And this whole thing about so many tiers, give it to the fans, but also let the players in a combined vote decide the entire roster, not these different tiers. That's how Crawford got left out. There's just so many tiers, and you go A, B, and C. Well, he missed them all, so he's not playing.
Boy, great. Great to have you on. Good stuff, John. Very good. And you have your Sunday column coming up this week. What do you have coming up?
Yeah, tomorrow, annually, right before the break, I have a string of lists, what's good and bad and ugly about the whole it's actually on sfchronicle.com right now, but it's sort of a look into the past couple of months, look ahead to the future couple of months, some trade talk, all kinds of things.
Oh, I look forward to seeing it. Very good. So enjoy the All-Star game. Javi Lopez said to me yesterday, and we'll play his interview as I walk down to the public house, he said this All-Star thing is going to be part of the CBA. He really feels that maybe that it's going to come up in this negotiation.
Yeah, just right here. I mean, if Crawford can't play and if Bumgarner can't play, and those two guys represent the best team in baseball record-wise, there's something kind of wrong.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm not being a homer in this. I mean, it doesn't benefit me if they play or don't play.
Look at Jake Lamb. I mean, Jake Lamb, 20 homers with 60 RBI. He leads the National League in slugging.
Yeah.
And they had to bring a live lamb into the clubhouse to get interest for it, if people could vote for him. And they had a guy in a lamb suit running around. I thought it was fun. I think the whole thing was
and
fun.
And it's okay for every team to be represented, but just, hey, every player doesn't have to play, right? Bring back some of the old school rules where you actually do try to win. Maybe use your starters for six innings, not three.
Yeah, if you want to make it count, play it like it counts. Yeah. Not just inadvertently say, oh, by the way, we had this crazy exhibition game, and the National League won, so you get the home. Because it's huge. It's a huge thing.
Right.
All right, very good. Love it, John. Thanks for stopping
Marty.
By and enjoy your week down there. You'll be down in San Diego next weekend
all
as
week because
well.
The Giants are in Padre land as well.
9-0. We'll see. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, that's right. And will Cueto get three more starts in that series?
Boy, I'll tell you one thing. I'll leave it with this. He ought to start on Tuesday.
Yeah, he should. Real quick. I mean, Terry Collins last week mentioned five candidates, and one was Kershaw. He's on the DL. One was Bumgarner. He can't pitch, right, because of the silly rules about Sunday. Right. Syndergaard came out of last night's game with arm fatigue. And Arrieta just hasn't pitched well.
Right, he got
lately.
Lit up again.
So where does that leave you?
It leaves you with Johnny Cueto.
With plenty of rest and a manager, Bochy, who says, I'm fine, let him go two innings.
Yeah, and it's not it can't be Bartolo Colon. Yeah. Jose Fernandez, I can see an argument. Yeah. But Cueto, we'll take this up later on, but 13-1, he's put up a first half. You're talking Marichal kind of stuff, and you can't ignore it. You cannot ignore it. But that's part of where the Giants are these days. Yeah. Hey, John, thanks so much as always.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Marty.
All right, very good. Nice having John Shea with us.